Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloved, and welcome to Set Free Live. This is Prophetess Deborah Taylor, and it is a blessing to be with you once again. I've got a little hoarseness this morning, but we're thanking God for being able to be with you once again. We're thanking God for his goodness and mercy and kindness. God is so good to us, and we're just praising him, amen, for what he is doing. It is an honor, amen, to be online again this morning with you. And I'm praying and trusting the Lord, amen, that those that are listening and up, amen, that you're having a blessed day today, amen. And we're going to go into the word of the Lord, amen. We're going back into the word of God this morning, amen. But before we go to our study, I want to share a prayer with you. And it is important, beloved, that as we pray in the morning, we begin our day with God. And we begin, amen, by putting on our armor. And we know we're very familiar with the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. It talks about our armor and how we should put it on, amen. And this morning, I just feel to share this prayer with you. So I want you just to stop what you're doing and gather around, amen, and get your Bibles and just get ready to go into the word of the Lord. But we're going to have a prayer this morning, amen. Father God, with gratitude and praise, we thanking you for this day and for this opportunity. And Lord God, as we go forth today, we put on the armor that you have provided. And as we do so, Father, we trust you for protection against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Father, we confidently stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. Help us, dear Lord, to recognize the enemy's subtle, deceiving ways and believe and live and speak only your truth. Lord God, we thank you for the breastplate of righteousness which you've offered to us. That righteousness, Lord, which is ours through faith in Jesus' death on the cross. Lord God, we call upon the righteousness of our Lord to be our protection, and we know that Satan must retreat from before the righteousness of God. Lord, we thank you for the sandals of peace. Not only do we need your peace to touch our emotions and every part of our life, but Lord, we will remember that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but you've given us power, love, and a sound, secure, stable mind in you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that. Hallelujah. And Lord, we eagerly lift up the shield of faith that will quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, knowing, Lord, that you took the arrows of the enemy, which we deserved. However, Lord, should any of these arrows, or you allow any of these arrows to touch us, Lord, we will look upon them as refining fires permitted for our growth and, Lord, for your glory. Lord, we recognize that our mind is a particular target of Satan's deceiving ways. And so, Lord, we're asking that you cover our mind with the helmet of salvation. May it so cover our mind, dear Lord, that we will think your thoughts, feel your love and compassion, and discern your will and leading in all things. May the salvation of the Lord meet and defeat all satanic thoughts that come to our mind. Lord, with joy, we take hold of the sword of the Spirit today, which is the Bible. God, it is the trustworthy, infallible Word of God. We choose to believe it, to live in its truth and power. Lord, I ask, Lord God, that we hide it in our heart. Grant us proficient recall and skill in using it to defeat Satan, to push him back, and to win great victories for you. Lord, we're thanking you today for prayer. We're thanking you for the opportunity to call upon your name, dear Lord. We desire to pray at all times with the intensity that the Holy Spirit would give us, and we'll trust the Holy Spirit to intercede for us and through us to accomplish great things for the glory of God. We pray this and we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. We're thanking the Lord. Glory to God for prayer on today. Now, it has been a while since we were in the book of Revelation, and we are going to go ahead and go back into, amen, the book of Revelation. We left off on our last time we were in Revelation. We went through chapter 7, and we had begun chapter 8, and we're going to go back to the beginning of chapter 8. Now, we have come up to, amen, the seventh seal, and we're about to, amen, go into the trumpet judgments, the first six trumpets, and this scripture covers Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Okay, Revelation 8, chapter 1 through chapter 9, verse 21. That goes through the six trumpets, but we are going to go on into Revelation chapter 8, and we're going to go ahead and go back a little bit, and we're going to go back to verse 1, and we know that the verse 1 picks up with the silence in heaven, and we have come through, amen, talking about the churches and talking about the rapture of the church, and we began with the seals, amen, and now we're going on to the seventh seal. I'm not going to review all of that, amen, on today. Glory to God, but we're going to move forward now, amen, and we just ask you to continue to pray for us, amen, as we go forward in the name of the Lord. I'm excited about the Word of God. The Word of God, we know, is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It goes down into the marrow of our bone, and we're thanking the Lord for His Word. Beloved, I want to just say this, that in this day and hour, and I'm sure I've said this before, but we need the Word of the Lord and God's richness of His Word. And amen, we know that there's answers for us every day in the Word of God. And so even in Revelation, amen, and most of this is we know is prophetic. Most of these things has not taken place yet, but still God has a Word for us in this great book. And so we're thanking God. Now, you should all be at Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to just read, amen, Revelation 8 and 1. Let's just start there. And it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now, what's going to basically take place here at the opening of the seventh seal, we're getting ready, as we said, to go into the seven trumpet judgments. But before all of that takes place, there's going to be silence for 30 minutes. Now, can you just imagine the saints of God in heaven? No one playing a harp, no one stringing a strum, no one moving around, no one doing anything. Everybody is silent. And this will literally happen. This is an interlude, if you will, because something great is about to take place. And I'm pretty sure that there's going to be an awe in this silence that, oh my God, what is about to happen? But for those that will be on the earth during this time, it will be a terrible time. It will not be fun. It will not be pretty. They will be dealing with the Antichrist and his rise and his power and all that's going on. There'll be a lot of bloodshed. There'll be a lot of murder. We're seeing murder and violence and all kinds of things now. Amen. But at that time, it's going to be horrendous. But here we see silence in heaven. So it's plain. We don't need to try to figure out what that silence is. It's just what it says. It's silence. And it's a time that no one will be stirring. Amen. During this silence, even the elders, the 24 elders, will be quiet. They won't be doing anything. They will cease playing their harps. As I said, the angels will hush their voices. The cherubims, the seraphims, and all of the hosts of heaven will be silent. Glory to God. And like I said, this is an awe in this silence. And as I just read this, it's just, oh, my God, it's going to be very intense, glory to God, during this time. Now, we're going on to Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 through 5. And I would like to just stop here and say, amen, that if you would like to call in with comments, now let me just clarify here that we will not debate the word with you. We're just going by what the scripture says, and I know there's some out there that, you know, really want to pick us apart and, you know, and that type of thing. But we're not on the air to do that, beloved. We're here to share Jesus. We're here to share the word of God. Amen. So if you do have a comment, amen, you're free to call in at 718-664-9578. Or if you have a question and we do not have the answer, we can research the answer, amen, and get the answer, amen, because we can pray and God will give us, amen, the answer. So we do invite you to call in at any time, 718-664-9578. You are listening to Set Free Live, brought to you by Women of Power Ministries. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 through 5, it says this, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, the golden incense altar, having a golden censer. And there were given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." Now this is a awesome picture of what will come behind that silence. John saw these seven angels. Amen. The seven angels here were special ones. And to them were given seven trumpets. Isn't seven the number of completion, I believe? Okay, now there are seven trumpets which will be blown by seven angels in the order as they will be given. So each of these angels will blow their trumpet at the right time when they're to blow it in succession. And as each trumpet is blown, you're going to see what's going to come behind that in just a little bit here. Okay, and the Bible says that another angel came to the golden altar to minister. In other words, the prayers, we see here that the prayers were laid on the altar. And you know when our prayers go up, they go up as a sweet-smelling savor to God, and they're laid on that altar. Everything that was displayed in the tabernacle of Moses, the altar and all of that, was a replica of what's in heaven. And so whenever we offer a sacrifice up, it goes up to God. That sweet smell and savor goes up to the Lord. Now let's read a couple of scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through, wait a minute, I'm sorry, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, let's go there. Amen. Take me just a second to get over into Hebrews 4. Amen. Okay. 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and we know that Jesus is our high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Believe me, beloved, this is an hour where we have to hold fast to God. We've got to hold fast our profession of faith. We cannot let go now. Many are falling out of the race. Amen. Many are falling into heresies and apostasy, turning their backs on God. But the word of the Lord is telling us today to hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, we have a high priest now, Jesus Christ the righteous, who can, amen, know and feel what we're going through. Back in the Old Testament, when the people used to come with their sacrifices and that, amen, and they'd go to the high priest, he really could not identify with them fully. Amen. All he could do was take their sacrifice and offer it up. But we have a great high priest now that when we come to God, we lay our offering up. We lay our sins down. We confess our sins. We repent. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. Amen. He took sin upon himself, even though he did not sin, but he took the sin so he would be able to identify with you and I. Glory to God. Amen. The Bible says he was tempted like we are, but he did not succumb to the sin. He did not have to go that far. Come on now. But he took it. He took it enough to where he could take it back to where it rightfully belonged, and that was in hell. Glory to God. So he took that stuff for us, and he's dropped it into hell. So when the enemy comes at us, beloved, amen, we know that the price has been paid. Glory to God, the battle's been won, and victory is ours in the name of the Lord. So when the enemy comes at your mind, he may try to come at your mind today. But remember, we prayed at the beginning. We prayed and asked God, put on the helmet of salvation. Amen. So when he comes to attack your mind, glory to God, you can tell him you cannot enter here. Amen. Because I have the mind of Christ. Glory be to God. Now listen, verse 16, it's grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now we don't have to come skittish. We don't have to come shy. We don't have to come timid. We don't have to come afraid. Come on now, but when we come before the Lord, even if you have sinned and fallen short, you still need to come boldly because you need to get that thing right. You need to come honestly. Amen. If you have a problem in your life and you know that you can't overcome it and it takes the blood of Christ to overcome these things, then you come boldly before the throne of grace. That's where you find help. He won't strike you. He won't kill you. Amen. He will help you. Come on now. The favor of God, the mercy of God is right there at the altar, at the throne of grace. Glory to God. Just as we see these prayers going up on the golden altar, amen, an incense. We as believers, amen, we have a right to come to the throne of God to find help in time of need. And listen, Jesus can sympathize, or he sympathizes with our weaknesses. In other words, he can identify, amen. He knows what you're going through, amen. We can confidently approach the heavenly throne, knowing that our prayers and our petitions are welcomed and they're desired by our Heavenly Father. God wants you, beloved, to come to him. He wants you to roll your works over on him so that he can help you. Okay, now this is the throne of grace, amen, because from the throne of grace flows God's love, his help, his mercy, listen, his forgiveness, wisdom. Amen. If you need wisdom, you go to that. You go to the throne of grace. Amen. Spiritual power. Amen. You need the anointing. We all need the anointing. I need the anointing more on me today than I needed it yesterday. And I'll need it more tomorrow. Come on now. Amen. Spiritual gifts. Amen. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Amen. We need the gifts flowing daily in our life. Amen. This is not just when we get in church and we have a good high service and we need the gifts to flow. We need God's anointing every day. We need to hear him every day. We need to be able to speak a word in season to people's lives, people that we come in contact with. Amen. They need God. Amen. And when they see Jesus in us, they're going to want him. Glory to God. So spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, we need to walk in love. Amen. Faith and temperance. We got to have self-control. We need the mercy of God. Amen. All of these things. Glory to God. And all that we need in every circumstance when we go before the throne of the Lord. Amen. It's right there. This is a powerful scripture. Amen. So this throne that we see in heaven, this altar, this golden altar, the prayers went up. Amen. They went up as incense before the Lord. Glory to God. Now listen, one of the great blessings of salvation is that Christ is now our high priest. He is our great high priest. Amen. He is our mediator. Amen. And he opens the way for us to come to the Father with confidence for all areas of need in our lives. So like I said, there's nothing that God cannot deliver us from when we come to him, and we come to him in faith, believing and trusting him to do what only he can do. Amen. But we must come to him. Glory to God. Now, there are other scriptures that you can read. If you read Hebrews 6, verses 20, and then through chapter 7, verse 28, and also Hebrews 13 and 15. Amen. All of these indicate that the angel is Christ. Amen. He is present. His ministry is present as our high priest. He is our high priest. Amen. Now, the censer that we read about is also mentioned in connection with the high priest. And you can go back and read Leviticus 16 and 12 and Hebrews 4 and 9 about that. Amen. Now, this angel that we see here offers up prayers of the saints again. After this ministry, the ministry of Christ at the altar, the seven angels, they're going to prepare to sound, and they will take their turn in blowing their trumpets. Okay, this will literally happen. This is not a figurative thing. This will actually happen. Amen. Just like the plagues of Egypt, they were real. They were literal. Amen. These trumpet judgments will be real. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we're going back here to Revelation, and we're going to read Revelation 8, verses, let's read verses 6 and 7, amen. Okay, and the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound, amen. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, my first thought when I read this, now this is a judgment, okay? Judgment because of sin. This is God pouring out his judgment upon the earth during the tribulation period, okay? This is why we know that God's judgment will not fall on his people. Those that are ready to go at the rapture, as we already talked about, will not be in this, will not see this, will not experience this, will be in heaven, amen. We'll be preparing for the marriage supper of the Lamb and all of that, amen. We'll be judged too on our works and things like that. Glory to God at the judgment seat of Christ. But the saints of God at the time of the rapture will not experience this. But of course we do know there will be a lot of people here, amen. And this is a time of judgment. Now, when you look at third part of the trees, when you think of the forest, amen, actually the forest, I believe, one purpose of the forest is to provide a clean environment. In other words, where air and pollution and all of that is taken care of. But you realize that a lot of our forests have been, bouldered down or whatever. We don't have a whole lot of forest today. But that's how our environment is kept clean, through those trees. See, God created everything for our good in the beginning when he, in Genesis, there's so much in this morning, in the book of Genesis when he created the trees and he created everything, he did it and everything was good. But you see here that the trees, a third part of the trees will be burnt up, and that's going to send off pollution, it's going to send off contaminants in the air, and the grass will be burnt up. Well, the green grass represents new life, amen, and that's going to be burnt up. Now, this is the first trumpet judgment. You're going to have hail and fire mingled with blood. Blood is contamination. Amen. We don't mix blood with anything because it's contaminated. So that's going to kill the trees. It's going to kill part of these forests. It's going to burn up all the grass, the fire, amen, the hail. And guess what? The men won't be able to put these fires out. Amen. It's going to just burn up everything. Men are going to be so helpless during this time when they see these things, these plagues going on, these judgments going on. Glory be to God. Now, okay, Now listen, when you go back into the book of Exodus, and you can read Exodus 9, 22 through 26, that this is similar to that. But this plague will affect, it will affect the vegetation. One third of the earth will be affected. In Egypt, it affected the vegetation, men and the beasts. But during this time, it's going to really hit the growth of crops, and that type of thing will be affected, because whenever, again, fire, hail, mingle with blood hits the earth, it's going to contaminate the ground. So the food won't even be healthy, you know, and that's where a lot of people, again, will be affected, okay? So they won't be able to grow crops. They won't be able to grow, you know, your vegetables, your tomatoes and your potatoes and, you know, all these things that come from the ground will be affected. Glory to God. So this is going to be a real terrible time. Amen. Now let's go on to, we're going to go ahead and read Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, we know, again, that we use the ocean. We use great boats to transport all kinds of things, food, cargo, supplies that would come from foreign countries, and all these types of things. But this great mountain is going to be thrown into the sea, so the water will be contaminated by a third part of it. Life will die in the sea. The fish will no longer be any good to eat. The ships that are on the ocean at that time, they're going to be destroyed. They won't be able to move. Think about if you're on the ocean and all of a sudden it's nothing but blood. You know, we can't even fathom this, beloved, but this is what's going to take place in Egypt again when the rivers was turned to blood in Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 through 21, when the river Nile was turned into blood and everything in the river died. It was an awful smell. It was just terrible. Glory to God. And so this is going to be an awful, awful plague that will take place. This is the second trumpet, and this is a mountain. It's a large, will be a large, like a meteor type thing with fire that will fall into the sea. And we don't know which sea it is, but it's going to fall into the sea, and it's going to affect quite a bit of the earth, a third part. Amen. And so our business, the businesses at that time will be affected, amen, by this judgment. Glory to God. this is going to be an awful, awful judgment. As I think of this and I can see this happening just in the spirit, it's just awesome, beloved. Now, this lets us know that we must be ready. Amen, because we know Jesus is coming. He could come today. And, beloved, if you don't know the Lord, amen, I admonish you, amen, to surrender your life to the Lord. Jesus died for your sins, sicknesses, and diseases. He died that you might have a right to the tree of life. Amen. You don't have to go through this time. Amen. You can be ready. Amen. And so when he comes, amen, in the rapture, when the rapture takes place, you can go and be with the Lord. I see that my time is just about gone for today. We're going to pick up. We will be with you again on next week. Glory to God. And I invite you to listen in. Amen. Amen to this broadcast. Tell someone about Set Free Live. Glory to God. Be encouraged, beloved. Keep your armor on. Put it on every day. Re-listen to this broadcast. And amen. Pray that prayer every day that you would be armed and clothed with the armor of God. I pray the blessing of the Lord will be upon you until we meet again. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.